Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire, presented by Finished MMA and the United Way Merced.
Bone of the Mo Thugs movement, part of the Bone Thugs and Harmony family tree, the 86ers brand ambassador. Check it out though, listen, in the world full of followers, be proud to be different, be an 86er. So what I need y'all to do is go to the 86ers.net. we got the dopest apparel, men and women, everything you need for a fresh start. I'm talking,
you wanna go inside, tees, baby?
Zip ups, tanks, hoodies, and the best hats at a price nobody can match. I'm gonna ask you this though, what do your clothes say about you? If you don't know, come to the 86ers.net and find yourself out. And a special shout out to Don McGuire, the host of The Fighter's Voice. Salute, big homie.
Welcome to The Fighter's Voice. I'm your host, Don McGuire. You know, I thought long and hard about my last show of 2018. I could have had just about anybody in the sport on my show, but you know me, I roll a different way. You know, I looked back at the past year, and I wanted to make a representation of who made the biggest changes in my life, who truly gives without expectation, and who truly is probably one of the coolest dudes that you'll ever meet. He could be having the worst day in the world, but still reach out and help you, still tell you he loves you. And it's a man that would never look down on anybody in life unless he's picking them up off the ground. So with that being said, I wanted this last show of 2018 to be with a very special man, a tremendous warrior, and a true person in his walk in life. And without further ado, let's have Shad Smith on the show. Shad, what's happening, brother?
Not a damn thing. Just out here at Darby's enjoying lunch, enjoying the company, enjoying the crowd, tripping on the people. So many beautiful families in this restaurant I'm in right now. It's amazing.
You know, Shad, the reason I picked you, and only you, I could have done four people. You know, my show usually has four people on its episode. The only reason I wanted you on today's show was because, you know, I look back the first time I had you on, the friendship that's correlated from then. You know, what is it about Shad Smith that makes you so unique that it draws people into you, and what gives you that aspect that changes people's lives and your thoughts?
I think the thing that is different now is because we don't have so much internet and the phones and stuff in our hands all the time, because we're older and we were raised a different way. All of my younger friends, they have their phone in their hand every second and they're like staring at it. I'd much rather stare at the person sitting across the table from me than at my phone. I'd much rather talk to the person sitting across from me than whoever I'm talking to on the phone. If you're with somebody, be there. Be with them. Be present. Don't put your phone away for a little while and talk to whoever you're talking to. Make them feel like they're important, because they are.
Yeah, they truly are. You know, one thing that I do love about you is you always tell everybody that you love them. You always tell everybody that you're willing to wake up in the middle of the night and go help anybody, whether you know them or not. Who instilled that type of integrity, that type of knowledge in you as a young man that allowed you, or was it an aspect that you went through in life that correlated you into the individual you are today?
It was my dad. My dad was awesome. He would wait for people to walk down our street, Elmwood Road in San Bernardino. And if they looked like they were struggling with life, he would pull them into our house. He'd tell them, hey, can I make you something to eat? And he literally would let them sleep at our garage until they got back on their feet. And he would guide them and encourage them. And my parents, they had issues just like everybody else. but they loved a lot. And my dad, he exemplified kindness and, geez, integrity. And he just loved people. He didn't want anything from them. He just wanted to give them some food in their belly and a place to rest. And it's so funny how many times people came back months or years later and told him, hey, man, thank you so much. The time that you let me sleep in your garage was the time that I got back on my feet, and now I'm working and I'm being a productive member of society and I'm doing the things that I really wanted to do before, but I didn't believe in myself, and you instilled that belief in me. And I trip on my dad, man. He passed away like a decade ago. And it's funny because just recently, one of my coworkers, his little strap thing around his waist that saves his back broke. And when my dad passed away, I got his bathrobe and I got his weightlifting belt. And I told the guy, hey, man, I have a weightlifting belt at my house that might help you out. So I let him use that. And when I see that, I wear the bathrobe every day, especially during the colder months. But now the weightlifting belt is being utilized again. And I know how fucking happy he would be to know that it's being utilized and it's being it's helping somebody else. And it just makes me happy. My dad makes me happy. He's a freaking cool dude.
Yeah, that's tremendous. You know, one of your friends, Howie Kay, said, and I want to quote this correctly, so I'm going to find it. Give me a second. Shad is a great friend and always has always had a positive attitude, a true example of what a good person is. I mean, what does it mean for you, not as a warrior, but as a man in your walk, to have so many people recognize the difference in you and what you're doing for others?
It means everything, dude. You don't just talk about how great you are. You freaking go out and you be an example. You pick up that person that's sitting just a few minutes ago. How long ago was that, baby? That we talked to the guy with the... Yeah, like 50 minutes ago, I walk up to this guy. He's at a bus stop, and he's sitting there with his head down, and he looks fucking miserable. So I tell baby, I'm like, hey, we need to go back and check on this guy. So I pull back into the parking lot where he's at. I get out of the car, and I go up to him, and I'm like, hey, bud, are you okay? And he got up. And he started to walk away. He was like, I don't want to be fucked with. So I told him, hey, don't you go anywhere. I told him, I'll leave. And I go back and get in the car, and I told baby, I was like, hey, he does not want to be fucked with. He just wants to be left alone right now. And it's so crazy because the guy looked psychotic. He was decked out in military gear, but I don't think he was in the military. He may have been a veteran, but it was, I don't know, man, jeez. I just love people, and I don't like seeing people down and out. When if they look down and out, I'll go up and I'll tell them dirty jokes or freaking tell them some antidote from my past or relate with them in some way to give them encouragement. And the times that you can do that, that you can lift somebody's spirits and make them feel like, hey, I'm okay. Because every single person that I know has issues, and I have more than most, I think, but it's good to know that we're all on the same page. We're all on this. Everybody has struggles. Everybody has issues. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, my show goes everywhere. We talk about everything, and God, I'm stoked that I got you on today's show because it's we've been hit and miss on the show aspect sometimes because your memory isn't so good. But it's all good, brother. I got to give you a bad time sometimes. You know, but.
Yeah.
This last October, you had an opportunity to step back in the cage for King of the Cage against Aaron Hedrick. What did that moment mean to Shad Smith, knowing that you took that fight that quick, you went in there, you came out victorious? Because the first time I interviewed you, you said, I don't even know why you got me on the show. I'm not even that great of a fighter. You know what? Anybody in the sport deserves a voice. But anybody that gives back without expectation even truly deserves a bigger voice. But what did that moment mean to you looking back to last October against Aaron Hedrick. What did that moment mean to you moving forward in life?
You know what, Don? I had a friend at that time that was struggling so bad. His name was William Carey. I just got you. You almost did what you said you were going to do. He was in my corner, and he gave me a game plan. And I did exactly what he asked me to do, everything that he said to do. He said, as soon as you hit the guy, he's going to shoot for a double, and you'll be able to catch that guillotine you're always catching people in. And I was like, all right, great. And honestly, the fight meant nothing to me except to make William stoked. And William was like, as happy as could be, Brian McChesney came up to him and told him, hey, you have to settle down. This is their guy at their place, and you're losing your mind. He was like, you have to settle down. And that meant everything to give my friend happiness and hope again when he had just gotten broken up with by his girl. And he was crushed. He was completely crushed. And that night, he was alive. He was like, all the sad, hurt feelings seemed to be gone for those few hours. He was there encouraging me and talking to me and just being with me and being present. And it just felt good. It felt good to know that he was happy again. And if it takes me to finally win a fight. And you know what else is funny? I always tell people that the only time I do well in MMA is when somebody is rude or disrespectful. And this guy was just mean. I'm not trying to talk shit about Hedrick. I don't know the guy at all, but he was so rude at the freaking weigh-ins. He was yelling at me, and he was just being kind of douchey. And I was like, wow, man, I'm gonna fuck this guy up. And it ended up working out well because he was rude. When these guys come up to me and they bow to me and they tell me, hey, man, it's an honor to fight against you, it throws me off because I don't have anger and I don't have fear. So I'm not that – I told you this before. I'm really not that great of a fighter. But if somebody makes me angry, I want to beat them up. And, yeah, it worked out perfectly that night.
You know, in a few short hours – yeah, well, at least as far as where I'm at, in 8 hours, well, to be politically correct, 7 hours and 45 minutes, we will be stepping into 2019.
Bam.
What has 2018 truly meant to Shad Smith? And if you had to, you know, I think you already did just now, but what would you say would be your major reflection looking back upon the whole year?
Jeez, man, if I could reflect on anything, it would be that we are all one. We all have issues. A couple weeks after that fight, I got told that I have HIV. And it's so crazy that the first thought that went through my mind when they were like, the doctor tells me, hey, you need to come down here. And I kind of knew it because when you're on the team that I'm on and you're promiscuous and you don't use protection, you know it's going to end up happening. And the only thought, when I went to the doctor and he told me what the diagnosis was, I was like, oh, good, I don't have to worry about that anymore. And that just seems so weird and so strange, even to myself, who's always trying to be positive. Not trying to be. I think I do a pretty good job at it. But for them to tell me the worst news that I think anybody could ever get, and me to go, oh, great, I don't have to worry about that anymore. It just I hate to say this because it sounds so crude and douchey, but fucking, I felt like a king, dude. I felt like a king that I could find a positive when I got the worst news that I've gotten so far in this life. And I instantly think, oh, fuck, that's great. I don't have to worry about that anymore. And I know how weird and corny that sounds. But, yeah, this year has been another year like all of the ones before. It's been really rough, but it's been better than the one before. And they seem to keep getting better and better. And I'm pretty sure 2019 is going to be awesome. They have a bunch of shows out in Europe that I've been offered to fight in. I have a couple of guys that have challenged me, and they're like, it should be fun. It should be fun and exciting, and I'm really excited. I'm so glad that my friends, the way that they treat me no matter what, no matter what I do, even when I had my friend Neil Glines and Damon Caldwell pull me aside recently and they're like, dude, we think you're fucking up right now. And they explain the things. And it was, the conversation was really intense. And it was really, what's the word, eye-opening. But it was so wonderful that people love me enough where if they think I'm making bad choices, they pull me aside and they tell me, hey, dude, fucking what's up with this? And they talk to me about it. They don't sit around in places gossiping about me and talking shit about me. They take me out to lunch and ask me about it. And I was overwhelmed. I was overwhelmed by the love that I felt right then. Yeah. Life is just such a bitching experience. And if you surround yourself with people that love and care about you, it makes this life so fucking amazing and so fun. Don't kick it with people that want something from you. Kick it with people that are going to give back a little bit, even if it's just a hug or a kind
word.
Well,
I'm 53, bro, and
I can't believe that, dude. You look fan-fucking-tastic.
Well, I appreciate it.
Dude. You look fantastic. 53 years old. I hope I make it that far.
You know, that's funny because I always said I would never make it past 40. And here
I
am,
thought
53. All right. Well, I don't want to go back that far because the life that I had wasn't the most tremendous in the world. But, you know, I'm not going to keep it a secret. I spoke with you via FaceTime last night, and you said something that truly cemented our friendship, our brotherhood, the respect that I had for you. You said, I'm extremely rich, but it's not monetarily.
I am rich, dude. I am rich. I have absolutely everything that I want. The guy sitting across from me right now, ridiculous, dude. Leo Castillo is so beautiful, and he loves me, and I love him. And it's like, if you think that monetary, financial stuff is what makes you rich, I hope that you come around at some time to realize that your relationships in life are what make you rich. Your productivity in life is what makes you rich. The things that you do for this world. I pick up cigarette butts all the time. And it's funny because I probably look like I'm snipe hunting, like I'm collecting them for myself. But I pick them up just to throw them in the trash because I want to do my little part because I know I've thrown a million cigarettes on the ground in my life. But you get to a point in your life where you start respecting this world and you start respecting yourself. You start doing things to make the world a better place. I pick up trash and I pick up cigarette butts and stuff like that. And my friends think I'm weird as heck about it, but yeah, it's just my thing. I want anything that I leave on this planet, I want to be good and wholesome. I don't want to leave any messes. No.
Yeah, you know, well, as we, you know, I was going to state before, and then we kind of got sidetracked. You know, I'm 53 years old. I've been dealing with hate for 23 years in this business. It's the nature of the beast. This is the business that we're in. And I thought I had seen it all. And, you know, then my page got hacked, and I don't know all of what went out. I don't know what was put in people's inboxes. I don't even know. But I have a business account with Facebook, so they kind of help you out a little bit more. You know, I'm not going to mention the individual that, you know, the hack came from. But the thing of it is their page got removed, and then other aspects of their genre, which is out of the fight world, came to me, portrayed themselves as friends, and I was helping build their page. I was helping them go far, and then I see this live that this had been a pre-planned attack on me for 3 months, and it kind of broke my heart because, and honestly, in life, I help people. I don't ask nobody for nothing in return. And for the past, I would say, 3-4 days, my life has been a total nightmare. My phone's been ringing off the hook. People are spamming me, trying to hack me again. People are sending derogatory comments, threats, things. So, and it's like, I'm sitting there going, why? You know, and it's exactly what you spoke about earlier. It's the internet. It's social media. It gives an aspect to a person that feels that they're untouchable, that they can hurt anybody they want, and there's not going to be any repercussions. Well, I took the high road. You know, I didn't respond back. I didn't say anything back. And I let Facebook do their thing, and all of this got removed. And all that did was create more hate. You know, I realized that I've done the best I could in this business. I've done the best job I possibly can. You know, I kind of announced it on a show the other day or in a live feed the other day, but I'm going to announce it on my syndicated radio show because I don't want people to think that the show isn't going to continue. But 2019 is going to be my last year shooting. I'm going to make it the best year I possibly can. I'm going to give the sport the best I've ever given them so I can go out on a high note and not an afterthought, but I will continue my radio show. I just think that the entertainment aspect and the social media aspect of what I do is truly just, it's gone foul. And I don't like that aspect of life. When I could have friends like you that truly inspire, truly give back. And you're a prime example of what a true friend is, Shad. You're a prime example of what a warrior is.
Thanks
in the sport.
Thanks a lot, Don. That means more to me than anything that you could possibly say, dude. It makes me happy as fuck. And I take pride in that. I told a friend of mine the other day, he called me late at night, and his name's Conrad. He's one of the guys that rent a room from me. And he told me, hey, I just got a flat tire on the freeway. I'm stuck. And I told him, don't worry, dude, I'm on my way. I was dressed before I got off the – I was in bed at the time. I was dressed before I got off the phone with him. And when I get there, when I get back home, I told him, he told me, dude, thank you so much. And I told him, I love being that guy. I love being that guy that people call. I want you to count on me. And it makes me so happy that people do, that they know no matter what time, no matter what the circumstances, I'm there. I'm there. I'm on my way. Just call me, and I'll be there. And freaking, it makes you feel. I'm 5'5", and it makes me feel like I'm 8 feet tall. When I'm able to show up and help somebody out, and give them a breath of fresh air, and freaking let them relax a little bit, it makes me so happy to be the one that my friends count on. And when you know what's funny is when they call somebody else, I get a little butthurt, and I'm like, why did he call me? Pretty funny.
That's just truly how you are. You know, Dad, you've done so much in the giving aspect, and, you know, it kind of still stymies me because that you say you're not the greatest fighter, because you know what? You could be the most tremendous warrior in the world without even stepping into the octagon.
Absolutely. Absolutely, man. Fight for your rights. Fight for your happiness. Don't just live life. Build a life. Build a life that's custom-made for you. I tell people that all the time, and it means so much to me because if you don't, you're not going to be that guy. You're not going to be that guy that wakes up with a smile on his face every morning. Surround yourself with people that love you. Do the things that you love to do at least one time a day. Go for a hike. Go to the gym. Go whatever the case may be. I don't want to be crude, but whatever the case may be. Do whatever you need to do that makes you happy. As long as you're not hurting anybody, especially yourself, do what you need to do. Build a life that's for you. That way you don't waste any time.
Yeah, that's so true, my friend. It is, you know.
It is true, and I know it's true because I've lived it. Because I lived a life where I was just greedy and I wanted things. But when I started doing the things that I love to do, and being around the people that I know they care about me. So I surround myself with them, and they make me feel good. And even when they tell me stuff about me that's not good, it's fucking wonderful. It's wonderful when somebody points out your character defects and they're like, hey, dude, you might want to work on this. And it makes me feel so happy that they care enough. And they're not being malicious or mean. They're just telling me, dude, you have an issue with this. And freaking, I'm like, oh, shit, I do. And it's great. As long as we open our ears and we don't get immediately defensive and start going, oh, what do you mean by saying that? It's like, no, listen to your friends, because you surround yourself with these people because you know that they love you. So listen to them when they talk to you. Listen to them when they tell you something, especially something about yourself that's, like, not great. Listen to them, and, man, it just, this whole just keeps getting better and better.
You know, you look at the sport, and it's just an aspect of you. But the sport has a way of teaching us things and has a way of adding value to us. How much of Shad Smith would you say that the sport has added, attributed to, or created in the aspect of Shad Smith?
And it's been so, so very much fun. But it's just one of the things that I put in my life that make me happy. I love attention so very much. And when I walk down and there's freaking 14,000 people and they're all screaming and yelling for you and stuff, it makes you feel like you can fly. I love mixed martial arts. I love freaking Mike and Herb and Larry. God, dude, so you know who I'm talking about when I say Larry,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Is he hilarious or am I tripping?
No, he's freaking hilarious. So
he's the funniest guy, and he's like 60 years old. He's like old as dirt, and he's such a funny, humorous, sweet, caring guy, man. Mike Beltran. I mean, I don't just talk to Mike about MMA. I talk to Mike about life in general. I don't just talk to Herb Dean about MMA. I talk to Herb Dean about life. And these guys, this sport, by being in it for, I think it's 19 years now I've been fighting, the relationships I've built with so many different great people, man. John Cole, freaking Jared Papazian. I mean, I feel like I'm part of his family now. Him and I fought a few years ago. Now it's like, if I put up a post that says I'm miserable, the guy will call me and be like, hey, you okay, buddy? Ruben Duran, all these people that I've met through the sport of mixed martial arts that have made my life better, especially Ruben Duran, I should say, man. Such a fantastic friend. Yeah, Don McGuire. Fantastic people, man, that I've met through the sport of mixed martial arts. Yeah. And this whole thing, man, this whole MMA thing, it's so freaking exciting. I mean, the fights the other night, I'm sure you watched them.
Yeah.
If those didn't have you on the edge of your seat from the very first main card fight, Chad Mendez, to the last one with freaking the champions fighting, it was just incredible, dude. Seeing freaking Cyborg get knocked out. I love that lady. And it's crazy, man. I really disliked her opponent. But, man, once somebody knocks out three of the best fighters in the world, you're like, well, maybe she is pretty damn good.
Right? See, me and Amanda's girlfriend, we kind of got into it a little bit, you know, back when she was supposed to originally fight Cyborg. And we were on a thread in an MMA group. And I had posted, you know, I think Amanda's a great fighter, but I don't think she has the striking power to defeat Cyborg. Well,
right.
Nina
Antaroff, same thing I thought.
Yeah, well, Nina came back at me, and I said, well, Nina, I'm not disrespecting Amanda. I said, the thing of it is, I said, she's a 135er, Cyborg's 145, and there's nobody that's been able to stop her yet. She's built like a truck.
Yeah, like a man.
And, you know, I just don't think she has the power. I said, I'm not saying she's not a tremendous world champion. It's two different weight classes. And she was kind of cool with that. But, you know, I got to admit, Saturday night, really, wow. You know, I'm like you. You know, you
beat three of the best. It was phenomenal, right? It was phenomenal, right? From the very first prelim fight to the last one. I mean, I hate seeing BJ Penn get beat, but I love seeing somebody that damn good at jiu-jitsu throws a little leg kick and then snatches up a leg and freaking almost rips it off. And it's like, you got to be kidding me, dude. That's the next level. I remember when BJ Penn was just getting into this, and everybody was like, oh, my God, wait till you see this guy. That's the same way we are now. What was his opponent's name?
I can't even remember who he fought this Saturday.
And the guy snatched his leg and freaking – it's the next level. It's like they keep evolving. These fighters keep evolving. Now they're not just boxers. They're not just kickboxers. They're not just jiu-jitsu players. They are fighters, and they fight in every aspect of mixed martial arts, and they're fantastic. They're not just good at everything. They're great at everything. And, yeah, just dumb.
I got to agree with you there because, you know, see, for a long time, and you know I've been in this industry for 23 years, for a long time, everybody said, oh, well, you got to have jiu-jitsu, you know. And within the last 5-6 years, there's been an evolvement. And a lot of these older school fighters didn't keep up with that aspect. Well, when wrestling got kind of intertwined with jiu-jitsu and all the other aspects of martial arts, then people started realizing, well, you need to have a wrestling pedigree if you're going to compete with these new era fighters. Because you're 100% dead right. If you do not have this arsenal of all the aspects of mixed martial arts, you're not going to succeed in the fight game anymore. You can't be a world champion boxer like Holly Holm and think you're going to win a fight every time unless you evolve. And the sport
Absolutely.
Is evolving. Yeah, the sport is evolving daily. It's tremendous. You know, you look
It's fun to watch, isn't it? It's fun
yeah,
to watch
it's
these
starting
people
to be fun
getting
again.
Better and better and better. Man, I thought it was great when I first started watching it. And, yeah, I can't believe how much it's come through. I mean, when Hoyce Gracie was new, it was just like, wow, this dude's insane. He's the best in the world ever. Now there's people that are better than him, and it's crazy. It's crazy to watch and just go, damn. And I know Hoyce is sitting back with a big smile on his. I started this. I laid the groundwork for these people to do this. Yeah, same with the wrestling guys. What was the Randleman? Kevin Randleman. Yeah, just a beast in the wrestling, just a monster. Mark Coleman on the same
Adam
team.
Adam
DeSabato.
Yeah, I know all those guys. Yeah. You know, it's like it's funny because me and Mark, we speak on the phone periodically. I will let you know if Mark calls you, you better have a 3-hour time frame blocked off because you will be on the phone for 3 to 4 hours.
I walked up to him, and he was on a bicycle in Las Vegas, and he's cutting weight to fight. And I went to ask him something, and he got so irritated. And I know that feeling when you're cutting weight and you don't want to be messed with. And I walked up and tried to say something to him. The look he gave me was like ice cold, like leave me alone. And I'll never forget those days. There was a guy, I can't remember his name, but he was a fantastic Brazilian jiu-jitsu guy. And I got to roll with him and Kevin Randleman and freaking all these guys. And I was just like, just another one of those spots in my life where MMA has made my life so much better. But to be able to be a part of freaking that weight cut and to see people push themselves to the limit and get where they need to be. If you don't make weight and you're in MMA, you're kind of a douche. I hate to talk rude to anybody, and I don't mean to hurt anybody's feelings. Make weight. Make weight. I don't care what you have to do. Make weight. Jeez, it's a couple more pounds. Whatever you're at, when you give up, don't give up. Take the hour extra time, put on a flipping sauna suit, and get your ass on a treadmill. Make weight.
Exactly.
Make weight because you're cheating the other guy when you don't.
Yeah, you're not only disrespecting your opponent, you're disrespecting the sport, and most importantly, you're disrespecting yourself as a professional.
And you're making yourself look like a pussy, too. Because you don't have enough balls to get your ass on the treadmill for another 45 minutes and make weight.
You know, you're so right. I want to get your opinion on one young up and coming fighter. He's not too far from you. He has actually broken a multitude of records in the sport of mixed martial arts. That being AJ McKee, who just went 13-0. Before his last fight, he had told me, he said, you know, everybody thinks that all I have is these kicks and the stand-up. And he told me on the phone, we were on FaceTime, he told me, I'm going to beat this guy on the ground. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to beat this guy on the ground, and I'm going to do it in the first round, and I'm going to show the world that they haven't seen the best of AJ McKee. When you look at the new era fighters like AJ McKee, and the relevance of, like, his father, Antonio.
Is he related to Antonio? Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's his son.
I was just going to ask that.
Yeah.
Right when you said it.
A lot of people are pushing him to fight for the belt, to fight for the title. And Antonio said no. You know, Bellator.
Which organization?
For Bellator.
Oh, okay.
And they want him to, and Antonio said no. And a lot of people got upset, you know, Brandon Schwab, Ariel Helwani, a lot of people took to the attack mode right after the Chuck Liddell fight, scrutinizing Antonio McKee's ability as a coach. But I've known Antonio for so long. I mean, I would die for that dude. I'd bleed for him in a heartbeat. But what I love most about him is he looked even at his own son and said, no, you're not ready. I'll tell you when you're ready.
He cares more about his boy than he does about money. All that says.
But he's that way with every one of his fighters. You know, that's the thing. When I shut down that promotion in Michigan for racism, there was a young man by the name of Reese Archer. Didn't know the guy from nowhere in the world. I go get on Facebook, and I see this young man doing a live feed, and he's apologizing to me on behalf of the state of Michigan for the way that people treated me, attacked me. And I'm like, I was truly, honestly, it brought me to tears because this young man knew nothing of me, but he Googled me, he researched me, and he felt that it was relevant that he made a live apologizing to me while I seen it. I contacted the young man. I got to know him a little bit. And I said, you know what? I said, I took out the only promotion that you were capable of fighting in because there's not very many promotions at that time in Michigan. So I said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I said, this will be the only third time that I've ever done this in 23 years of me being in the business. I said, I'm going to make something happen for you. So I called Coach Antonio McKee, and I told him this kid's story. And Coach said, put him on a three-way. So I put him on a three-way, and the kid, you know, thought he was the cock of the walk. He was, well, they called me once. I said, bro, you need to shut up, and you need to listen to this coach.
Yeah,
because
Antonio's
the shit,
kid.
Yeah. I said, because you don't know shit. I said, listen to this man. So what transpired is Coach brought him out to the body shop in Long Beach, and he taught this young man what the sport was really about. Not only did he do that, he gave him a place to stay. He's given him free training, everything. And see, I think that's what's going to hurt me the most about this sport, Chad, is when I walk away at the end of the next year, is the 1%, as you spoke about earlier. You know, Jacob Stitch Duran, it's no secret me and him were like brothers in life. Me and Dean Lassiter, me and Mike Beltran, the Yamasaki brothers. This is a part of my life that is going to be so hard for me to give up. But also at the same time, life has to evolve. How would you say that life has evolved for Shad Smith from the minute you stepped on that path till now?
It's funny because the only thing in this life that I've noticed so far that is constant is change. I want everything to stay exactly as it is right now. But I know that's not going to happen because of experience in life. And every time things change, I just make the best of it. I look for the positives, and I try to manipulate situations to go my way. And, geez, when I think about all the cool things that have happened in my life and all the cool things I've done, I know they're nothing compared to what's in the future. I have really big plans and really big goals for the next few years. Yeah, I know that my friends aren't going to turn their back on me, because I've had some pretty shitty years in my life when I've been really off the wall, and they haven't turned their back on me. And now I'm doing pretty well in life. I have a beautiful home. I have a beautiful boyfriend. I have a beautiful dog. My life is exactly how I would want it. But I know my boys aren't going to turn their back on me now. I mean, I'm not that violent, psycho fucking douchebag I used to be, all spun out on meth, drinking Jack Daniels like water. I'm not that guy anymore. So I know things are just going to continually get better and better. I'm so excited for it's so funny. I get like a little kid. Get like nervous energy. So excited about what's to come in this life. And it's because I've built it. It's because I've surrounded myself with the people that I wanted in my life, that I want to do in life. And yeah, even when I get hurt by people or by situations, I learn from it. I learn from it, and I keep pushing forward, because there's no other option for me. I believe I only get one chance at this life, and I don't want it to fucking end. I don't want it to end anytime soon, and I definitely would never harm myself. I might harm myself with drugs and freaking fighting and stuff like that, but I'm not going to end it. I've never contemplated ending this, and it really freaks me out that so many of my younger friends talk about suicide so nonchalantly. When you do some shit like that, that's that. It's over. You have no more chances at getting laid, at going out to a party, at going to a sporting event. You have no more opportunity to do anything. That's that. It's like turning off a TV and you're done. So for all my friends out there that are freaking struggling with life in general, talk to people that are encouraging. Talk to people that are positive. Surround yourself with good, positive things. If you can't surround yourself with good, positive people, so be alone. Then call somebody. Don't be around people that are going to drag you down, that are going to make you feel sad or upset, or not give you the encouragement that you need and tell you how beautiful that you really are. The human race is freaking beautiful. People are beautiful. Just our capabilities alone are beautiful. Don't get too down on yourself. And if you need help, call your best friend. If you don't have a best friend, call me. 760-609-1479. Be happy to freaking take you out to dinner or freaking for a hike or go do some MMA, whatever you want to do. Don't ever end this before it's your time. When you lose your last breath, make it because of nature. Because of natural causes. Don't let it be because of your own hand. I know that's a little deep, and I'm sorry for like dragging this down real quick, but I want you guys to know
you're good.
That life does get better. Life does always, physically, mentally, financially, life continues to get better and better. Just be patient, especially you 20-year-old guys that are fucking down and out and you're freaking struggling with financial stuff. Don't worry, you get better at it. You get better at budgeting. You get better at freaking finding better jobs. And find your happy place, my friends, please.
You know, Shad, I hope you don't mind. You know, I think everybody that knows you understands this aspect of you. And it's one thing about me in life. I'm non-judgmental, man. I don't ridicule, I don't criticize, I don't put opinions or labels on people, but there's something I want to ask you, because you just stated it. How liberating was it for you to finally let the world know that who Shad Smith was, and how much does it mean for you now to find that that equality in the partner that you have in life, and how has it added to your walk?
It's absolutely the weight of the world on your shoulders. And it's not just with a fag thing or a work thing or anything else. It's
with
life
in general.
Don't
even use that name, because that name is lame.
I'm sorry, buddy. It's just with life in general. Be yourself. Do your very best, man. That way, at the end of the day, if anybody complains about your performance, you say, I did my best. And that's that. That's that. If you do your best, nothing else matters. When you put forth all the effort that you have and you're doing your best, that's what matters. And the people that don't accept you for who you are, let them go. You don't have to be mad at them. You don't have to have your feelings hurt. Just let them go and wish them the best. And surround yourself with you. Really care about you and do respect you and love you no matter what. The love that I feel for my friends is unconditional. If they told me that they were stone cold serial killers, I would tell them, dude, we got to talk. We got to figure out what we're going to do about this, because you're going to end up doing life in prison without parole. And I don't want to turn my back on any of my friends for anything.
I actually, you know, I think it's beautiful that you – I think it's beautiful when anybody finds anybody that makes them happy. You know, that's what life is about. You know, I think it's beautiful when you can find somebody that makes you feel liberated, somebody that makes you feel, you know, butterflies in your stomach, or that gives you those special moments during the day and puts that smile on your face when you think about them. You know – nobody walks in your shoes but you. You know, I made a statement the other day on Facebook. You can't hurt me because I've already been to hell and back. And I live by that statement. You know, you can attest to it. You've been in this business for 19 years. I've been in it for 23 years. This is the most harsh, brutal business you can be in. And if you don't have integrity, this business will chew you up, spit you out, and nobody will even remember who you are. So this shows proof that you've made a difference in this sport. You've made a difference in people's lives. And that's why I wanted to end the, you know, 2018 with you on my show, because the aspect of who Shad Smith is, apologize for that, is tremendous.
Right.
I've never met another individual that cares so much about life and the people around them, and even people that they don't even know.
Look in the mirror, bro.
Oh, man. Now you're going to make
me
cry on my show, bro. Come on.
No, all you've done is encourage people and bring people up and brag on them and make them feel better than. I've never heard you say a single word about a person that's made them feel less than. You always try to make people feel more than, and that means everything. People are more than. They are not less than. Even the homeless guy that I was talking to out front a little while ago, he's fine. He's fine with where he's at. He's not upset or sad. It's like, okay, dude, you seem pretty happy. Run with it. Do whatever you want to do. I've been working. I told you last time I spoke to you that I was working on my judgmental attitude. I've come a long way since then. I'm still far from where I want to be, but I'm way better than I used to be. And yeah, people are so freaking beautiful, man. And they all have issues. I'm looking around this room right now. I just saw people that I know from the gym and stuff that I didn't even know were here. But I'm looking around this room, man, and all I see is beautiful people everywhere I look. And it's like I see some people sitting there with this look on her face, this older lady, and she's like, perturbed, and you can tell she's beautiful, beautiful, like 70 years old, still beautiful as could be. Yeah. And there's my boy Aaron. I wish this was on video so you could see this guy's kid right now that's walking up to me.
Well, I had thought about the video aspect, but you know, then you got to deal with people's derogatory judgments, people's rude comments, people's, you know, not understanding of how life should be because it's not their path. And I would rather do it on the syndicated show with 300,000 listeners without the drama, you know, and I think you deserve that. And I didn't want to, you know, my last show of the year to be full of any aspects. You know, I just wanted to be one-on-one with Shad Smith, you know?
I really appreciate that, Don. You're the man.
You know, I think that's what's tremendous about having my own radio show is because I don't have to do it on Facebook Lives like a lot of people and deal with it, the ignorance.
I love Facebook, man.
I fired people, you know, for disrespecting fighters on my syndicated show. So I'm not going to deal with, you know, people intimidating or ridiculing a fighter on my page because I'll block
them. I'm sorry to hear that, man. I'm sorry to hear that. Freaking Facebook so far has been nothing but great to me. Been great for me. I get to see people from freaking 30 years ago hitting me up and trying to be my friend still. And it's like, wow, man. Makes me super duper happy.
You know, Shad, I'm not going to keep you very much longer. You know, I had you on the show because you made a significant difference in my life. This last year, getting to know you better has even been that much more tremendous. If you had the opportunity to thank those that stood by you, not those that were in front of you or behind you, but those that stood by you, gave you that shove when you needed the intent, whispered in your ear when you needed that extra thought. If you had an opportunity to thank the ones that truly helped create not just the warrior but the man, what would that statement be?
Oh, my God. Thanks for your patience. Thanks for your patience. Thanks for sticking with me through the hard times. Thanks for sticking to me when I was so much less than I could have been. And you guys believed in me and that they... Danny Caldwell, John Smith, Damon Caldwell, freaking Neil Glines, geez, Ryan, the list goes on, Andrew, geez, the list goes on and on, Leo Castillo, the list goes on and on of the people that have been there when they shouldn't have been, when anybody else would have turned their back on me, and they were like, dude, I don't give a fuck, I love you, and you're pretty awesome, and I'm like, wow, man, I can't believe they even talked to me. And yeah, now I feel awesome. Back then I felt like a douchebag, and I was a douchebag. And they saw through it and kept pushing me forward, kept encouraging me to do this and that and the other. That wasn't the same things I was doing that made me into that douchebag person. And they believed that I was going to change. And sure enough, man, freaking, it took a long, long freaking time. But I feel really good today. I feel like a good person, a productive member of society. I mean, I make people smile more than I make them cry.
That's what it's all about, brother. You know, well, we're going to kind of wrap things up here. You know, Shad, thank you so much.
Hey, Don, I love you, bro, and I wish you the very best in 2019. Hit me up, man. Please.
I love you too, but before you go, I'm going to toss the mic to you, bro. And if you have any sponsors, friends or family, any social media sites or just anything else you'd like to add to the program, I'm going to hand the mic to you. But before you do, thank you for being true. Thank you for coming on my show and being my last guest of 2018. It truly meant the world to me. And with that being said, I'm truly honored. The floor is yours, my friend.
Thanks, Don. Hey, guys. I don't have any sponsors to thank, but I wanna encourage you to make people smile. It doesn't cost you any freaking thing. If you see somebody with a new haircut or a new outfit, compliment them. Let them know that they weren't just wasting their time. And, yeah, I love you guys. Bye.
We'll talk to you later, buddy. Happy New Year. Bye-bye. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Shad Smith, a tremendous, tremendous friend of mine, a tremendous warrior, and all around a great guy. With that being said, I want to thank each and everybody for joining us on our last show of the year. I want to thank my sponsors, Finished MMA, Cutman for Hire, 86ers, and last but not least, Bite Me Mouth Guards. With that being said, Happy New Year. God bless. Don't drink and drive. Call a cab. Peace out.